Good morning, everybody. It's a great pleasure to welcome you here this morning. This is our gift service, as you know, and we'll be bringing the gifts up shortly. Joshua, as you noticed, is not here. He and Heather have gone back to the States just for a few days for some family business. So I think they'll be quite jet-lagged when they get back, because they've travelled out on Friday and coming back just during the course of this week. So last week he was talking about not knowing what day or what hour it is when Jesus will return. I think he won't know what day or what hour it is when he gets back either. So welcome to everybody who's here, those who are watching online, those at Littlewood Court, and those who are watching on the catch-up service, and a special welcome to visitors amongst us as well. So it's nice to have you with us. We're going to go into the blether. We haven't had one for a while, but this is from the ministers of the various churches in our parish grouping. And so we'll go straight into that, and then I'll go into some intimations as well.
Hello, everybody. So nice to see you. Welcome to this joint blether. It's been a wee while since we've had one of these, and we thought we'd come back together to share some important news with you as we go into this Advent and Christmas season together. So to start us on the sharing of this news, I'll hand it over to my friend, Neil.
Thank you, Joshua. Folks, for the past few years, the congregations of Clunie, Monymusk, Echt and Midmar, Kemnay, Bleduff and Chapel of Geary, and Kintore have been working together in the Presbytery Area Grouping. You've seen us chatting to you on these weekly blethers. We supported each other during the lockdowns. We've been holding occasional shared services. We've even formed a joint pop-up choir. And one of our congregations, Bleduff and Chapel of Geary, has received regular ministry support from the other ministers in the group.
With changing patterns of ministry and drops in staffing levels across the Church of Scotland, the reality is that we are planning for a reduction in ministry positions to just 2.5. That's 2 ministers and 1 half-time assistant across our whole grouping of 6 congregations over the coming years. This will take effect as ministers retire or leave and will not be replaced.
You'll be aware that the ministers and elders of our congregations have been meeting together over the past 2 years to consider a way forward that will ensure that we can continue to deliver meaningful, mission-driven ministry to all of the congregations and parishes in our area. And we are confident that by working together as a union of congregations, led by a united Kirk Session and with our team of ministers, that we will be able to sustain and grow mission and ministry across our large new parish, and to be able to do that for the foreseeable future.
And together, we'll be better able to share resources and to learn from one another. We'll also be able to combine certain programs to simplify some of our administration and to hopefully reach a wider audience with some of our outreach projects. And by making good use of preaching rotas, lay worship leaders, and the online technology that we've developed during the pandemic, we'll be able to maintain regular worship within our united parish.
While this is a fairly big change to the structure of our congregations, much of your experience as a worshipper will stay the same. There'll still be regular worship. You'll still receive the same level of pastoral care that you have in the past. And the church will still be there for you when you need us, or when you have gifts that God calls you to share with Christ's body, the church. If anything, there'll be new opportunities and possibilities. As part of a bigger church family, there'll be opportunities for each of us to serve our communities more widely, not only in our own towns and or villages. You'll suddenly have more than one minister, initially 5 of them, although, of course, this number will decrease over time.
Bleduff and Chapel of Geary, this isn't the future. This is actually the working model. And a large part of the getting to know the ministers and the other congregations has been relatively easy for us because we haven't had our own minister. And we've adopted the 4 faces that you see here, Sheila, Ewan, Joshua and Neil, with ease. And they've quite simply become our ministers. It may be harder for the other churches to get to know all the ministers, but from our experience, embrace this as the additional characteristics they all bring is inspiring. Watching team ministry evolve with Blair Duff and Chapel of Gary has been wonderful, and it's a great start to the union.
No doubt you will have some questions of what this means for the future. And we plan to spend the next few months sharing information, listening to your concerns, and trying our best to answer your questions. From January, we have a planned rotating preaching plan so that each congregation will get to meet and hear each of the ministers in the group firsthand. And by the end of April 2023, we will put the question to each of our congregations in the group to vote at a congregational meeting for the union.
We have to say that as ministers, we genuinely love the collegiality of working together. We're thrilled to be getting to know each other's congregations, and we're excited about the prospect of working together on a more permanent basis in the future. But for now, we simply want to wish you all a very joyous and hope-filled Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I hope you like the jumper. I was inspired by Matthew and Lydia's outfits when they came in last week, and I thought, well, I'm not going to wear the sequin dress, but I thought I'd wear the jumper. So thank you for the inspiration. Yes, a few more intimations. I say we have next week the Nativity play, which is going to be led for us by Fantastic Families. So please do come and support that. That would be great. We're looking forward to that very much. You've seen on the overheads that the Loaves and Fishes will be doing Christmas lunches from Tuesday the 6th to the Friday the 16th, which will have a starter, a main, a dessert, and tea and coffee, and mints as well. Very posh. So if you'd like to participate in that, please do come along. You'll be very welcome. This afternoon at 4 p.m, there's choral evensong at St. Anne's Church, and everybody will be welcome to that as well. It's free entry, and it's being led by by St. Andrew's Cathedral, and there's also refreshments afterwards. So they'll be looking forward to people coming together for that. I'd like to also remind you of the ACORN initiative. Judith's been handing out cards to people just to remind you of what ACORN is about. I know that a lot of us will think, gosh, can I really do that? But actually, it's relying on God to guide us, to lead us in how he wants to use us day by day. And also rely on the strength and the gifts that he gives us. It's not something we have to work ourselves up to, but just come close to God, seek his will, and do his will, and reach out into our community. So I do encourage you to look at the ACORN cards and to trust God. Do it on a daily basis, or as how you feel, how God leads you. But please do follow that. So as we come together, we're going to consider Psalm 8. I'm just going to read from it as our call to worship. Let's turn it up. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands, and you put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We're going to sing our first hymn, Strength Will Rise, And during this hymn, if you would like to bring up the gifts that you have for the Family Centre, please do so. If you've forgotten any or you haven't managed to get hold of some and you would still like to give, you can take the gifts up to the Loaves and Fishes during the opening hours between Tuesday and Friday this week. So there's still plenty of opportunity to give if you'd like to. And the Family Centre in Kemeny would be very welcoming of them. So thank you very much. So we go into Strength Will Rise. No beginning and no end. And Lord, you are the God who created all things. You are the God who sustains all things. And you are God who will make all things new when Christ comes again. We praise you for making us and blessing us with your love. Lord, we thank you that although the human race has turned away from you, although we have turned our backs on your love and gone our own way and followed our own idols, you did not lose your love for us, but you came into the world to save us. You came into the world as our Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to us and coming to us in such a humble way and being amongst us, sharing our weaknesses, but without sin. We thank you for going all the way to the cross in your love for us, to pay for our sins, to bring us redemption, to restore us to the place that you created us to be in the first place. And Lord, we thank you that you will come again and that you will make all things new and all things perfect, and you will dwell amongst us. We thank you for these great hopes and these hopes which came about because of that first Christmas. And Lord, as we come to you this morning, we ask that you will minister to us, that you will be alongside us in all the situations that we find ourselves. And may we put our hope and our trust in you. And we thank you for the great gift of faith, the faith that only comes from you and enables us to actually depend upon your promises and know that they will come about no matter what's happening around us. Lord, forgive us for when we fail you. Forgive us when we've forgotten you. Forgive us when we've taken all these great gifts for granted, and help us to come closer to you. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless this time together, and that, Lord, we will know that you are with us now, and be with all those who are listening, watching online, or catching up on the service on the internet. We pray that you'll be amongst us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to light the second candle. The first candle was lit last week. Can you remember what it was? Hope. Well done. Yes, hope. And remember that Joshua reminded us that hope wasn't something, well, I hope it's going to happen, but this is real hope, knowing that it will happen. And the second candle, can anyone remember what the second candle is? Faith. Yes, so faith. So what is faith? Well, very kindly, it's written down in the Bible what faith is. Can you believe that the Bible tells us what faith is? So faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That sounds like a strange thing to have, doesn't it? But it actually, again, depends on God and his faithfulness. The faith that he gives us to trust him in his faithfulness. So that's faith, believing that God will carry out his promises. And he has promised that Jesus will come again. He has promised that Jesus will restore all things and make all things new, and that God will dwell amongst us. And that has come about because Jesus came into the world. And that's what we remember here, this nativity. So I'm going to ask Jeff to come up and very bravely light the second candle, in faith that it will light. Hand you the matches, Jeff.
Never got a choice of which candle. As long as it's not the one in the middle.
Not the one in the middle. That's a special one.
This one?
Yes, let's go for that one. Oh, you of little faith.
Patience.
Great.
There we go.
Thank you.
I'll put those back in there.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
So we have hope and we have faith. We're going to now sing O Come Emmanuel. And during this, after this, the children can be excused and you're going to go and practice your nativity, no doubt. Is that right? Yeah, absolutely. Good. So we really look forward to seeing you next week. So before you go, we'll just have a quick prayer for you, okay? So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the children. We thank you for the time that they will spend with you this morning. We pray that you'll be with them and the leaders as they practice the nativity. And Lord, bless them. And may they know the sense of wonder and joy that Jesus did come into our world. We ask this for your name's sake. Amen. So let us stand and sing, O come, Emmanuel, just the first two verses.
Thank you. sermons and recorded it during the week so that we will have the benefit of Joshua doing the sermon and not me. And he will also do the blessing at the end of the service as well. Okay, thank you, Anne.
This morning's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Matthew 3, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. John the Baptist prepares the way. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." May God add his blessing to this reading.
Thank you, Anne. The next hymn is obviously related to that reading. Come Holy Ghost, our hearts inspire.
Let us pray. Lord, as we continue our Advent journey, as we draw ever closer to the manger, may you draw us closer to you in every way. May your Holy Spirit fall afresh upon each of us in this time, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength and the redemption of all who trust in you. Amen. So last week we started our Advent journey for 2022. Last week we were reminded that the word Advent, it means arrival or appearance. And we heard last week how the season of Advent is really a season of two Advents: the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem as a baby, and the glorious future return of Jesus to judge the living and the dead. So the New Testament is a tale of two Advents. And as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we live in between our Lord's first and second Advent. We also heard that even though we've become quite comfortable with the bare bones of this story, of this time of year, that by nature, the first and second Advents are disruptive and unexpected events. They are both times in which God is doing something new. And last week, we compared the advent of Jesus, both his first and his second one, to the arrival of an unexpected guest. And we heard how many of us, if we received an unexpected guest, we'd be quite flustered, surprised, maybe even a little panicked. Well, another question to consider today, also on the topic of guests, I wonder how each of us feels about receiving a truthful guest. Now, I'm not talking about a guest who is generally honest and trustworthy. Such things seem to be a requisite for being a good guest. Instead, I'm talking about the kind of guest who is brutally and accurately truthful, who speaks words of truth with a capital T, whether we want to hear them or not. For some of us, we might admire and welcome such a person. Might be a breath of fresh air. For others of us, such a person might make us blush and cringe and want to hide behind the settee. But today, in today's reading from Matthew, I think we encounter such a truthful guest in John the Baptist. From start to finish, he is a truthful guest and companion in our Advent journey. And we heard this passage a few moments ago, and it comes off as quite a dramatic scene. We're told that John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he, Matthew says, who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Matthew goes on to say that John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt about his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Now, I think there are several reasons why John the Baptist attracted such large crowds, apart from his attire and his unconventional diet. I think one of the main reasons why he drew such a crowd was it had been several hundred years since God last sent a prophet to speak to his people. And several hundred years is a long time to wait for a fresh word from God. And in the time in between, before John's arrival, many people we know had attempted to claim the mantle of prophecy, to speak for God. But those attempts were short-lived, or they never gained any real traction in the first place. When it comes to prophecy, as we say, the proof is in the pudding. you know it when you see it. And the Jewish people were hungry for a new and fresh word from God. John the Baptist, quite simply, was different. He seemed to tick all of the prophetic boxes. And we need to remember that when he appeared on the scene, up and running up to that time, a great portion of the Jewish leadership tried to live as peaceably as possible with the occupying Roman army. They did this, we assume, in good intent to preserve the peace and safety of their people under difficult circumstances. But John the Baptist was not a diplomat. He did not seek to curry favor. He did not mince his words, regardless of who came out to the Jordan River. John the Baptist, he told the truth. And what truth did John the Baptist proclaim? It can be summed up, I think, in one word. Repent. Repent, he said, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, back when I was in seminary, I took several courses on communication, on public speaking, preaching, and over again I had it drilled into my head that as a preacher you have to know your context, you have so that you can make the gospel understandable to those who hear you. You have to know the lives and the stories of the people in the pews so that your presentation, your sermons, can speak directly into what people are facing in their lives. Make it grip, make it meaningful. This is generally good advice. There's no value in using language that people won't understand. That'd be like me here in Scotland talking about a seventh inning stretch. That's baseball. Or in America, making a reference to cricket. Both, I think, would not be well understood. So we have to use language that people understand to communicate God's truth. All good. And in this passage, and I think this is quite remarkable, John the Baptist both embraces and ignores this advice. On the one hand, there's no doubt that those who heard him would understand his call, repent. For repentance was and is a common practice in Judaism. And I think everyone who heard John had a good sense of what the word meant. But on the other hand, John the Baptist was completely indiscriminate in preaching his message. For him, it did not matter who was in the proverbial pews. He had the same message for everyone. Repent, he said. He didn't select certain people out of the audience to repent out of the congregation. It was a call to everyone to repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And maybe it's just me, but I struggle to think of anyone who enjoys being told to repent. At the very least, being told to repent implies that our relationship with God is something less than perfect. Being told to repent implies an uncomfortable truth that we are sinners, very much in need of God's forgiveness and transforming grace. This call to repentance, I think, exposes the truth of our situation. And what is the truth of our situation? Well, if we listen to the Baptist, if we take his words to heart, the truth is that while we still draw breath, while we're still alive, we all have ways in which our lives need to be redeemed. In other words, John the Baptist and his call to repentance, it reminds us that whether we admit it or not, we are all works in progress. And whether we are 1 year old or 121 years old, God is calling each of us to repent, to literally, repent literally means to turn around, to cast ourselves on the mercy of God and to live into the power of the Holy Spirit and follow in the Jesus way. As I said before in our Advent journey, John the Baptist is a truthful guest. He's truthful because he reminds us of the need to repent, to have the whole of our lives shaped and redeemed by Jesus Christ. This is true for every single believer. When I was studying at university, I had the privilege of learning scripture and Christian theology from Dr. Roger Morling, who was and still is one of the godliest people I have ever known. My words can't convey fully the impact that Roger has had on my life and on my faith in Jesus Christ. When it comes to following in the Jesus way, Roger really follows. In his younger years, he was a missionary and a Bible translator for the Kamwe people who live in Nigeria and Cameroon. He married a wonderful and godly woman named Dottie, and together they raised two children. Along with this, he taught Bible and theology at Whitworth University for almost 40 years. And in his retirement years, he continued to work on the Old and New Testament translations into the Kamwe language to further spread the word of God. And every day, even now, Roger takes time to read and to pray scripture. And one time, I heard the story secondhand, but Roger was asked, "Why do you read scripture every single day? Haven't you mastered it yet, Roger?" After hearing this question, Roger thought for a moment and he replied, "It hasn't mastered me yet." Friends, we all have ways in which our lives need to be redeemed. This Advent, we all need to hear, believe, and live into John the Baptist's call to repent. And the ways in which we do this will be as different as our fingerprints. We all have different stories. But we all have the same goal: right relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we continue our Advent journey, as we continue to actively wait and prepare for the birth of the Savior, may we hear and obey John the Baptist's call to repent. May we receive this message with gratitude and with joy, and hearing it, believing it, living into it, may each of us prepare the way for the Lord in our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
So Joshua encourages us to hear God speaking to us. We're now going to sing, "Speak, O Lord."
Of your holy us pray. This morning, as we pray together and we think about faith, repentance, and trust in God, I'd like to share with you some prayers from three different countries undergoing difficult situations. First, from Haiti. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful country, the sky, the weather, and the courageous and friendly people that live there. And we thank you, Lord, for those involved in peace building through the Church Community Transformation Group, as they help and walk alongside the folk in Haiti who are overwhelmed by all kinds of injustice, conflict, and human disasters. Lord, we pray for this Church Community Transformation Group as they listen to you and walk with the people of Haiti. Lord, as we pray for peace and transformation, transform our lives too. And let's pray for a group in the Democratic Republic of Congo, working with young people and faith leaders, building for peace in their communities. Thank you, Lord, that you are making them ambassadors of peace, peace champions, and participants in community dialogue for their effort and willingness to make peace building a success. And we thank you, Lord, for the behavior changes seen already towards peace. And we ask that you continue touching the hearts of others to do the same for your glory. Lord, we pray for peace and transformation. Transform our lives too, Lord. And we bring to you Ukraine this morning. We pray for those living in Ukraine who no longer have access to essential supplies of food and clean water, remembering particularly the vulnerable who cannot flee. For refugees, for safe places for them to stay, and for the wounded and the traumatized, for healing and comfort, and for those who are grieving, comfort. We give thanks, Lord, that the church in Ukraine is getting alongside all these people, meeting them in underground places, meeting them in cellars, praying with them, supporting them. And we pray, Lord, that the leaders on both sides of the conflict be filled with compassion and a desire for peace, and that world leaders will balance responding to the injustice of the invasion with seeking ways to build bridges, de-escalate tensions, and restore global security. We pray, Lord, that the church in Ukraine and across the wider region will be a voice for peace, and that they will have the resources and the support they need at this time. We pray, Lord, that your power will be revealed through the church in all these different situations and other situations throughout the world, bringing a message of love, of hope, of repentance and transformation. Lord, transform our lives too. And as we bring the people of our own country, Lord, before you, praying for our leaders as they deal with the difficult situations of the energy crisis, strikes, and the cost of living, to name just a few. We ask, Lord, for wisdom and understanding as they deal with these situations. And we give thanks too, Lord, for the many organizations offering warm spaces and food banks, especially for our own warm space here in Kemeny. And we pray that people may feel welcome to come to these places and feel supported and feel the love and faith that surrounds them there. Lord, we pray for peace and transformation. Transform our lives too, Lord. This morning we have brought offerings of money and gifts for others. We ask you, Lord, to bless them and to use them to your glory as they bless others. May we seek you more and give more of ourselves in your service. And as part of that, let us join together as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Before we sing our last hymn, just say thank you again for all the gifts that have been brought along. It looks very impressive, and I'm sure it will be very much appreciated by children in our village, in our community. So we're going to sing now our final hymn, Be Thou My Vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord God, my God. Now
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. As we draw even closer to the manger, may we heed these words of John the Baptist and ask God to redeem and transform the whole of our lives, so that this Advent season and beyond, Jesus will be seen and proclaimed in every part of who we are. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing be upon each of us and upon all who we know, this day and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.